Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Do you enjoy history, antiques, fine arts? If so, a special opportunity at the Knoxville Public Library is coming up. Let's go in depth with fine art and antique appraiser Mark Moran. So, Mark, when did you first become interested in antiques?
Well, you know, I've been involved with antiques in one way or another for about 40 years, really beginning as a collector back in the 1970s. In the 1980s, I was a part-time dealer. My full-time job was I was a newspaper man. I was a reporter and editor at papers first in my hometown of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and then for most of my career across the river at the Rochester Post Bulletin in Rochester, Minnesota. But I was always involved with antiques and collectibles on the side, either, as I said, as a part-time dealer or working at auctions and antique shows. In the 1990s, I was contacted by a publisher here in Wisconsin to write antique reference books, and I wrote a few of them part-time, and then I quit the newspaper business in 2002 to write the books full-time, and I've written 27 books on various antique and collectible categories. And, you know, along the way, I made a lot of great contacts in the antiques trade. And so when I launched my antique appraisal event in 2011, you know, it was an immediate hit. It was a very popular event at libraries, historical societies, senior communities. So I've just been very busy for the last 6 years doing these events all over the Midwest.
Well, now you're coming to our listening area. You're coming to Knoxville and Prairie City. Can you tell us those dates and times and where you're going to be at?
Yep. On September 20th, I'll be at the Prairie City Public Library, and that event starts at 5:30 p.m. And on September 22nd, I'll be at the Knoxville Public Library. Now, that program starts at 1 p.m., and each of these are three-hour events. We do 3 one-hour sessions, and folks who have antiques or collectibles that they would like to have appraised can contact the libraries to register for these events, and then they will get a time, a one-hour window of time when they know they'll get their appraisal. And, you know, these events usually fill up pretty fast.
Well, yeah, I remember, you know, watching for years the Antiques Roadshow. That was a lot of fun. I presume your events or something like that?
Yes, they're set up along the same lines, although it's just me. You know, I can appraise a wide variety of antiques and collectibles, and the libraries will all have a list of the accepted and excluded categories for these appraisal events. But yes, it's set up very similar to Antiques Roadshow.
People have to register, and then there's a small charge for the appraisal.
You know, in some instances, there is an event charge. In some instances, the libraries don't charge their patrons. Each one is a little bit different. So, you would have to check with the libraries to see if there's a fee, but it's usually just a very nominal charge, usually just $10 or $15 when there's any charge at all. And that's just to offset the cost of the program. So in Prairie City and Knoxville, there may be a charge. These may be free for patrons. Sometimes they encourage folks to register if they have a library card. There's a fee for card holders and a separate fee for non-card holders. But each event is a little different, so they would have to check with the library to see if there's any charge at all.
Well, and they have to check with the library anyway if they want to participate, don't they?
That's exactly right.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Mark Moran, fine art and antique appraiser. What kinds of things do people bring in?
You know, it, no matter how many of these events I do all over the Midwest, I tend to see a lot of the same types of objects. For instance, ceramics, clocks, glassware, metalware, fine art, of course, you know, paintings and prints and drawings, statuary, advertising, toys, and that would include dolls and you know, wind-up toys, things like that, folk art and Americana, photographs, sporting memorabilia. It's a pretty wide variety. And, of course, the excluded categories are just as important. And so I always like to share that information. No weapons, guns, swords, knives, that's just not a language that I speak. Coins and currency also are not included in this event. Fine jewelry, costume jewelry is no problem, but fine jewelry, you know, diamonds and precious gems and things like that, that's not one of my areas. Traps, like leg hold traps, are also excluded. Nazi memorabilia and teeny babies are also among the excluded categories.
Why no Nazi memorabilia?
You know, I think it's important that we keep in mind that to learn from the history of that horrible time, but I don't think it's appropriate to assign a monetary value to it. You know, it's a philosophical issue that I have, and while I think it's important that we learn from that, I don't want to put a monetary value on it.
Well, I understand. It sounds like a really fun event, but I just want to know how you know the prices and even, you know, why some say China is valuable and other China isn't.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. In my events, I have, of course, my laptop, and it's connected to a 32-inch flat-screen monitor so that people can see all the internet databases that I use to keep up to date on values of you know, dozens of categories, and some of these websites that I use are free, and some of them are subscription based. But I like to share that information with folks who join us at the program, so that they can try and look up information on their own. I mean, one of the most important parts of my events is that I want people to feel like after it's over that they'll have, you know, a little bit more information, and that they can start looking up information on antiques and collectibles themselves. So, you know, in my events, I'm constantly looking at half a dozen different databases to find values. And, you know, it's true that many categories of antiques and collectibles have declined in value in the last 20 or 30 years. But in every single category, there are always a few pieces that have, you know, held their own, and appreciated in value, and that's really, you know, that's about quality. You know, quality antiques and collectibles will always find a market, and so I never want people to feel like, even though something they might bring into my program might not have a great monetary value, it still has great sentimental value. It could have decorative value for them, something that an antique show or a flea market or a rummage sale, or just came down through the family, through the generations. And you know, sometimes the story of a piece's history grows in the telling from one generation to the next. And a big part of my job is to find out if that story is true or if it has grown in the telling.
Well, yeah, we always want all of our stuff to be more valuable than it probably is.
Right.
That's just sort of human nature.
That's true. And you know, most people, Bob, here's the funny thing. Most people don't care what their antique or collectible is worth. They just want to know if that story is true. And, you know, over the years, I've seen so many wonderful antiques and collectibles. Every event I do, I see something I've never seen before. So I have to draw on my knowledge and my internet databases and all my experience. So I'm learning all the time as well. And, you know, I try and make these events entertaining and educational and fun. Don't tell anybody, but I have more fun than anyone else at the program.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mark Moran, fine art and antique appraiser. Now I go to an occasional auction, and it seems like almost every time there's a tool that I don't know what it was used for. Do you encounter that as well?
Boy, do I ever. Tools, old tools, especially old farm tools, is a really specific collecting area, and there are people all over the Midwest, especially farm collectors and tractor collectors, who love to come across these wonderful old tools. I have a really excellent tool guy that I turn to when I have questions about that. He's up in Rochester, Minnesota, every time someone brings in an item that's kind of a mystery, I try and get the audience to help me out, to try and figure out what it is that it's for and how it was used. And sometimes folks in the audience know more about the object than I do, and that's great, you know, because I'm always learning, as I said. But there are times when I get stumped, and sometimes when I get stumped, I take a picture of the object and I share it with some of the experts that I'm in touch with, and they usually help to put me on the right track.
Well, yeah, you can't know everything, every item. I mean, we've been doing nothing but producing technology for thousands of years.
Right. And, you know, especially with something like clocks, I mean, good heavens, clocks and watches, these wonderful little machines are some of the oldest human inventions, you know, going back thousands of years. Today, people bring in, old kitchen clocks to my programs. They bring in old pocket watches. I'm always happy to look at them. Sometimes it seems as though technology has passed these wonderful little machines by. But, you know, that's also part of the fun, is that we talk about restoration and repairs and cleaning and things like that, not just for clocks, but for paintings and furniture, and you know whether refinishing is a good thing or bad thing. That's a big debate that always comes up at my events.
Could you repeat where and when your events are again?
Absolutely. On September 20th, I'll be at the Prairie City Public Library. That program starts at 5:30 p.m. And on September 22nd, I'll be at the Knoxville Public Library, and that program starts at 1 p.m. And in each instance, folks need to contact the library to register their antique and collectible to be appraised. And then it's a 3-hour event. We break it up into 3 1-hour sessions. And folks can try and get some information about their antiques and collectibles.
I'm sure you do this because it's fun and because it's just of general interest. But what's the big reason behind looking at antiques and appreciating them for not just you as somebody that does this for a living, but for all of us? Why should we care?
Well, you know, I think we learn a lot from our past. Sometimes we learn about technology, or sometimes we learn about history and invention, human ingenuity, things like that. And sometimes it's just, you know, simple curiosity, trying to figure out why something was made, how it was used, what were the design influences, where did it originate, and how old is it? A lot of people think that the older an object is, the more valuable it can be, and really, that couldn't be further from the truth. I see so many wonderful old, Bibles and religious texts in my programs, some of them hundreds of years old, and they have almost no monetary value. They have great sentimental value, but almost no monetary value. Today, it's really about the design influences and what designs determined the decorative elements in any given object, starting with, in the 19th century, early 19th century, the Federal and Empire period. up into the 20th century, Deco and Art Nouveau, the arts and crafts movement. Anything that has a strong decorative component, a design component, collectors like that because it's easier for them to compare apples and oranges, and then making sure that they're comparing each and not mixing them up. So, I mean, we're talking about design influences as recent as the 1970s and 80s, which to me doesn't seem very long ago. I mean, 40 years ago doesn't seem very long ago, but there were really strong design trends then that are still collectible today.
Well, I just love the connection I feel. I guess I engage my imagination as well and just think about who had this object, what was their life like, and whose hands it passed through.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people share that fascination, and it's more about understanding the history of an object rather than its value. If we can assign a value to it, that's wonderful. But you know, having been a newspaper man for so many years, a lot of the things that informed my work there still inform the work that I do today as an antiques appraiser. Tell a good story. Tell it simply and honestly and clearly, and be entertaining. And so that's something I try to do in all of my antique appraisal events.
Thanks to Mark Moran for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.